Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 93 for May 27th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
Ever since I was a kid, my ambition has been always to have a distillery.
That's Ewan Shand, the owner of Duncan Taylor & Company. He's regarded as one of Scotland's top independent bottlers, and now he's building a distillery of his own. More with Ewan later, but first, let's look at the news. This was supposed to be Islay's big week, as the Islay Festival of Malt and Music brings hundreds of whiskey lovers from around the world. But it's shaping up to be a week of headaches, since many of the island's distilleries may have to start shutting down as they run out of fuel oil. The island's oil supplies are running out, and tanker ships can't make it to the dock at Port Indal. Now, here's what happened. Local officials had to comply with European Union rules requiring the use of double-hulled tankers to prevent oil spills. They spent nearly $8 million to extend the Port Indal dock to accommodate the new ships. Trouble is, the extension didn't apparently go far enough. A combination of low tides and high silt levels at the docks means the ships can't get to the dock without running aground. The Scotsman reports the local Shell oil distributor now says it cannot guarantee shipments to Islay as of tomorrow, the 28th. Brooklady says it'll stop production tomorrow, and the other distilleries will have to follow suit as their oil supplies run out. Of course, the oil shortage will also affect other Islay businesses and residents, especially those who depend on fuel oil to heat their homes. More on this story as it develops. Time to hand out more awards. This past week, the International Wine and Spirit Competition announced winners in Scotch and Irish whiskey categories during the London International Wine and Spirits Fair. Here's competition director Frances Holder.
We put everything into specific flights. So in the case of whiskies, they would be single malt categories by age and style and alcoholic strength. And we only taste like we'd like. And our panels are usually around seven people in a quiet room, and they don't see the bottles, everything's served to them. So when we actually judge them, we make awards according to the marks that are given by the judges and take an average mark. The top in the class will get a best in class. Silver start at 80 and gold at 90. So if you have a class of, say, 10 products and five of them get over 90, then the top one that's marked the top in that category will be the best in the class. And that's the product that will go forward for further trophies at a later stage.
So let's go through the Irish categories.
The Irish categories, we had four gold best in class, and we had seven silver best in class, nine silvers, and the rest of the awards in the Irish categories would have been bronze.
So the best-in-class winners in the gold, what did we have?
For the Irish whiskies, we have Tullymore Dew, which would have been tasted as a deluxe blend. And we have Cooley Distilleries, Coonamara, single malt Irish, Green Knorr, single grain Irish, 8-year-old, and Locks, single malt Irish, 8-year-old. So those are the gold best-in-class.
Okay.
The ones that are coming through, it seems to me that Cooley Distillery have done quite well in overall in the Irish categories.
That's great news to hear. Let's switch over to Scotch now.
Well, Scotch is a rather larger animal. We had, upwards of 340 odd Scotch whiskey. There were a number of categories. As I say, they're divided by single malt. In Scotland, it would be divided by region, as well as age and finish. So if it's finished in a different cask or if it's cask strength, they would all be tasted separately.
And how did we do it? What are the best-in-class winners there?
Well, there are rather a lot of best-in-class winners. We have 62 gold best-in-class. So I think to read them all out would be rather a lot. So you might have to look at those on the website.
Okay, so what are the best of the best then?
The best of the best would be the best in class. So that's 62 gold best in class and 36 silver best in class. It's difficult to say, but I had a quick read through the results this morning, and it seems to me that the big boys are all there. You've got Chivers, most of the Diageo distilleries. Glenmorangie have done well. Mike Mackay seemed to be there, and also William Grant have done extremely well, particularly with the Balvenies. They've won quite a few awards with Balvenies. But on the smaller side, where a company that's not part of a big group is an Isla distillery called Bruichladdy. I don't know if you know it.
Oh, of course.
Well, they've done reasonably well, and they got a gold best in class with their Isla trilogy.
Any other unusual ones that stood out?
I think that's about the best of the unusual, if you like. Most of them aren't total surprises. All the usual brands are coming through: Talisker, Craganore, Abelure. Ben Stewart has done okay.
Now, I know you have other categories that will be coming out later in the year.
Yep.
What are those?
Yeah. Categories, the spirits categories that we still have to taste include bourbon, all other worldwide whiskies, so from Japan, India, South Africa, anywhere else that makes, Canada, of course, mustn't forget Canada. So we have quite a large worldwide whiskey category to deal with later on.
You'll find a link to the complete list of winners at the WhiskeyCast website. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the Spirit of Toronto Festival's special auction honoring whiskey writer Michael Jackson. Michael disclosed recently that he's been fighting Parkinson's disease for the last decade, and Spirit of Toronto founder Joanna Ngo decided to put together an auction to benefit the Parkinson's Society of Canada. Here's the good news. 2 dozen bottles of whiskey went on the auction block May 12th during the Spirit of Toronto Festival. The auction raised more than $6,000 for Parkinson's research. By the way, if you'd like to hear more with Michael, you can hear my interview with him in episode 84. Just a few of the other events coming up on the calendar. The Brandy Library in New York City will hold a tasting of Duncan Taylor scotches on June 1st and the Benriach Range on June 8th. This coming weekend is the Highland Whiskey Festival in Scotland. June 16th is the Kentucky Bourbon Festival's Sampler Night in Frankfurt. Malt Advocate magazine editor John Hansel hosts a single malt dinner at the Farmhouse Restaurant in Emmaus, Pennsylvania on June 22nd. And the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's Australian chapter holds a tasting dinner on July 2nd in Sydney. Of course, you'll find a complete list of whiskey events on the WhiskeyCast website. And if you'd like to add an event to the list, just email me. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. Many of us dream of having our own distillery, and some of us actually get to make that dream come true. Ewan Shand has been bottling some of Scotland's finest whiskies for years at Duncan Taylor & Company, but there's a difference between buying up casks of whiskey from other distilleries and to making your own single malt. Last month, I reported that Ewan was about to announce plans to build a distillery in Huntly, and this week, he told me about his plans.
We've just submitted the plans to the local authorities for them to clear, or they're being submitted as we speak. But we've had plenty of meetings with them, and everything looks as though it's going to be a runner. There's nothing negative so far. They're all very excited about it, and we're hoping it's going to be kicking off very, very soon.
What prompted you to go from bottling other people's stuff to making your own?
I've always wanted to make my own. It's ever since I was a kid, my ambition has been always to have a distillery. I mean, my first love was Glendronach, and when I started off there as a cooper, it was the kind of place that I really wanted to end up buying. But you know, these big companies there, they don't sell anything these days. So I was kind of forced into looking at building one instead.
What kind of whiskey are you hoping to produce here?
I'm looking at not just one kind of whiskey. I mean, the distillery is going to encompass a few interesting things. We're going to have a conventional pot stills, but not totally conventional. We've got some ideas about having a slightly different type of still. We're going to have a wee experimental still, and also we're going to have column stills. So it's a boutique distillery. It's not a massive distillery, but it's going to encompass a few different distillation methods.
I should have asked that a little differently. I meant, what character are you looking for in the whiskey you're going to produce?
Well, this might be an interesting thing as well, because most distilleries produce to a certain character. There's always little tweaks you can make. But we're very interested in looking at the loam and still type method, where we can really tweak things greatly. So as far as character's concerned, I'm looking for something slightly heavier. I mean, I love Speyside's, I love Highlands. I'd like something with a little bit of pungency in it, and I don't mean heavily peated.
So what are you looking for then? What do you mean?
I like my personal sort of whiskey. I've always liked something along the lines of Glendronach or even Highland Park. Those are probably my two favorite whiskies. My third one's Springbank. If I can produce something that encompasses a little bit of all of these, I'll be a very happy man.
I think that would be almost any distiller's dream.
That's why. Of course it is. Of course it is. Now, that's my dream.
Obviously, you've got to wait 3 years at least, minimum, before the before your whiskey's
ready. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, as far as the malt's concerned, we've got to wait 3 years. We do have our blended product, Scottish Glory, which is doing reasonably well, and with some base spirits in there that hopefully I'd be able to replace them with my own single malts.
Now, will this just accentuate the Duncan Taylor line, or is this going to replace certain elements of it, or what are you going to do?
No, I think I'm keeping it very much hand in hand with Duncan Taylor. I mean, Duncan Taylor's with building up a good distribution worldwide, and we would like, you know, we want to introduce a single malt. As I've said, it's always been my dream, and it's going to be something added to the Duncan Taylor line.
At this point, when you look at the market, is there enough market out there to justify building another distillery right now?
Well, it depends how you market it. I mean, we've always gone for very specialist importers, distributors, and retailers, and probably in the end of the day, consumers. We've got quite a large following now at Duncan Taylor, and I've got a lot of people that are interested to see what's going to come out of this single malt distillery. So I'm hoping that we're going to have a fairly substantial clientele for the brand when it comes out in 4 or 5 years' time.
Now, the big question, what are you going to call it?
No, that is a big question. We've got, because the distillery is actually sited in Huntly, it's in the town of Huntly, and we've got quite a few names. I mean, it's hard to, I can't really say them at the moment because they're all under being registered as we speak. And we're going to leave the choice to to our dear friends out there who are all whiskey experts and who are Duncan Taylor customers, and those that maybe aren't Duncan Taylor customers. I'm actually considering allowing them to make the choice.
Interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
You could wind up with some very unusual names then.
We'll supply the names. We're only going to pick names from this particular area. We're not creating any names at all. You know, some crazily sounding Scottish name. We're actually pulling names from the immediate area of Huntly. So the names will be not sort of, well, they will be drawn from a hat. It's up to the people out there. We're probably going to put it in a website or something like that, and whatever is most popular, we'll maybe go with that name. But I'll have the final say.
I know you've got a lot of anticipation about this, since this is something you've always wanted to do. What do you think it's going to be like when you get to fire up the still for the first time?
Oh, I can't wait. I really can't wait. I mean, I went through most of the processes a long, long time ago, and I'm going to have to refresh my memory. But my father, who is still alive, and you know, he's an ex-distiller. He's going to be 88 years old when the first product is produced, and he's fit as a fiddle. I've already been speaking to him about it and talking about the characteristics and everything else. So I'm hoping that he's going to be around to do the first distillate. And he's fit enough. I'm sure he will be. So it won't be me that's making the first one. It will be my father. He'll be the oldest distiller in the book.
What did he say when you told him about this?
He was over the moon. He thought I was totally crazy, but he still was over the moon.
How soon before you make that first spirit, you think?
Depending on planning. If planning is going to, you know, we're probably looking at maybe 60 to 90 days for planning. Because the distillery is going to be entirely green, there's a few issues on that part as well that we need to overcome, because we're looking at biomass wood chip systems, and it's quite a complicated system for this distillery, because there is column stills, there is the spirit still, an experimental still as well. It's quite a complicated little number. So we're kind of, you know, that's kind of delayed a little bit, waiting for the final configuration of the boiler system. But if everything goes according to plan and we can get that engineering side in place, then hopefully starting off in August, the build would start off in August, maybe before. And we'd look at completion within a year. So it's going to be next June, July, August before it's fired up.
How do you make a green distillery?
Well, green in that we need to look at all the systems. I mean, we're going for a carbon neutral plant, so we need to regenerate certain things. We need to look at how the wash is going to be dealt with, and not the wash, the spent lease and the effluents dealt with. We need to think about the carbon dioxide. We're looking at doing sedum roofing on the warehouses and on the actual plant. So you know, it's going to be grass roofs. There's lots and lots of different methods. We're looking at the wood chip, the biomass system, you name it. We've got lots of different things we're looking at.
Has there ever been a distillery in Huntley before?
Yeah, there was a distillery here. If you look in the website, I will repeat the website address. It's www.dtcscotch.com. If you look at the website, you'll find that I've got a series of photographs of the old Huntley distillery, which sadly departed about 100-something years ago.
What did the locals think when you said you wanted to do this?
They've been very supportive. I mean, I've had the local press, I've had Scottish television filming the thing. It's been incredible, really. Just in the last few days, it's people coming up to me in the street and saying it's something they've so welcomed into the town. I mean, the town is a beautiful little place, Huntley. It's the only thing it kind of nobody really drives through Huntley, unfortunately, because there's a bypass now, and they don't know what they're missing, because they see an Asda superstore at one side and a Tesco superstore at the other. And and that's as far as they get. They need to come into the town and see what's in here. And I think a distillery will encourage people to come a little bit further. We've got an 18-hole golf course. We've got a beautiful castle. We've got so many positive things in Huntley. And this is going to be another very positive thing. And hopefully this is the one that's going to draw the tourists in.
And you're also going to create some jobs, too.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a few jobs come out of it. We're looking at 12 jobs at the moment. We're going to relocate our bottling hall as well down to the distillery area. So we hope to bottle on site as well and just have everything in one sort of area.
If you missed Ewan's website address, just head over to the WhiskeyCast website. You'll find a link there. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.